This is a PlanetPhilip.com podcast.
Hello and welcome to another PlanetPhilip.com podcast. I'm Philip and this podcast is about Ambushville. Now, Ambushville was a mod that was released as part of the 3x10 mapping competition series. And joining me today, I have three entrants from that. First of all, I have Mark Allen. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Philip. How's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks. And joining us is Darren Weeks. Hi, Darren.
Hey, Philip.
How are you?
Doing good, thanks.
Good. And last but not least is Justin Carlton. Hi, Justin.
Howdy.
Howdy. So we got three different continents here, as we were just saying before we started recording. So thank you, everybody, for taking the time for making this recording possible. So let's talk about the 3x10 mapping competition series. Basically, every a month, starting in October, I ran a competition for 10 days, and we finished the first one, and the theme for that one, as you can guess from the title, was creating an ambush. So we're going to be talking about those ideas and processes that each of the mappers went through. But before we do that, let's actually talk to the mappers themselves. So starting with Mark, we'll be doing everything alphabetically. Mark, tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been mapping those kind of things.
I'm a university student in New Zealand. I'd say mapping, I've been mapping probably about six years, like since I was like 14, 15.
Mm-hmm. And did you, that 6 years, does that mean that 6 years ago, that would have been episode two, yes? Did you start with Half-Life 2?
I'm trying to remember when I started mapping. Yeah, I think I did start with Half-Life 2, I think.
Okay.
Hang on, so it was 6 years ago.
Isn't episode 2 6 years old now? Guys, what do you think?
Wow, you're making me feel old.
Here we are.
Now I'm just bewildered.
Okay, all right, no problem. And what kind of maps have you made? Have you made lots of deathmatch maps or Team Fortress 2 or what?
And it's weird, I kind of ended up making maps just for like really, well, somewhat obscure stuff. Like I made a few maps for that like old Half-Life 2 mod Zombie Master. Mm-hmm. Like I made a few there.
Okay.
And I made a couple of, Trouble in Terrorist Town maps.
Trouble in Terrorist? What's that?
Trouble in Terrorist Town? You know, that Gmod game mode? You never played it?
No, never heard of it. Ooh, now I'm feeling old. Okay, sorry.
I've never tried it either.
Okay. You should. You guys should. It's great. Okay. Play my maps.
All right. any other SP maps?
To be honest, I'm pretty sure the only single player like Half-Life 2 maps, you know, playing through a campaign, is the stuff I've sent for your site.
Okay.
Just because that's the stuff I like. When I first started mapping, I made like a couple of maps, but I never released them publicly.
Okay.
They weren't that great. But it was actually, funny enough, it was actually your site that inspired me.
Yes.
To start doing some single player stuff and sending it in, just some
Excellent.
Short stuff.
Good. All right. So let's move on to Darren. Darren, you and I have chatted before, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I started mapping for the original Quake back in when was that? It was released in '96. I didn't really start mapping till about '98 or so. Didn't really release anything until around 2000. Three single player maps, about 15 utterly forgettable deathmatch maps, which I don't think were ever played in a single match, but they were fun to build. And just various little projects for other games over the years. Actually, I think Half-Life 2 and Left 4 Dead 2 are the most recent games I've actually released anything for.
Okay.
Lost at Sea was my first Half-Life 2 release, actually.
Wow.
After many failures.
Okay. Wow, okay, good.
Jeez.
And then, Justin, tell me about yourself and your mapping.
I started mapping, I don't remember when, but I started tinkering around with Warcraft 3, didn't really do much with that. Then I started Time Splitters Future Perfect, had a map editor, and I found that to be pretty fun.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of inspired me to do a little bit more. And I think I started mapping when Episode 1 came out. or maybe a little bit after that.
Okay. All right. And the kind of maps you've released? I mean, you've released a few from my competitions. Can you remember? I should know, but...
I entered 5 of the 6 6x10s.
Okay. Yep.
Entered Halloweenville and Crossbowville.
Okay. All right. And any others? Or have you only released through my comps?
Forward Motion was actually the very second map I ever made.
And I forgot you made that. That was a great oh, really? Set of maps.
Yeah, I like Forward Motion a lot. I totally blanked on the author. Oh, wow. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, what? They that were was, great. Yeah. Okay, but I mean,
I've been meaning to go back and fix them. But
yeah, there were a few errors.
Broken.
Yeah, no,
especially
that was a great
with all the
map
updates.
Pack. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, you're not going to have any time because you've got the other 2x3x10 competitions to do, but after that, I might give you a bit of time to find some time. All right, cool. So let's get straight down to Ambushville. What were your initial thoughts when you sort of saw the announcement? And start by saying how long after the announcement you saw it. So again, start with Mark.
I think I saw the announcement like only like a couple of hours after you posted it.
Okay.
Initial reaction. I don't know. It was like, oh yeah, that sounds like a theme you can make something around. Like, I mean, there's plenty of Ambushville, plenty of stuff you can do there.
I mean, are you kind of like keen to get started straight away, or was it one that you thought, maybe, I'm not really sure?
I was pretty keen to do it. Although the only thing was I wasn't sure if I'd had enough time, because I was actually really busy over that whole period.
Okay.
Of the map. But I did start on it, and I was pretty keen. In fact, I started by looking up the word ambush in a dictionary, just to try and look at a few synonyms, just to get a few ideas.
Good idea.
And you're like, you know, like synonyms like lying in wait and things like that.
Okay.
Then I popped open a text file, and this is the first time I've ever done this kind of thing, because I think the thing I'm going to start doing is start like planning my maps by writing down what happens in them, because because drawing a layout is too specific, and then actually but writing down this happens and this happens is a lot elastic, but it allows you to plan things out. So of course I wrote a whole load of stuff down and never used it.
Okay, well that's okay. Better than not writing anything and then not having anything to work from.
Definitely. Well, the reason was that I had an idea for a map and I did like a quick mock up, and then I gave up on it and ended up going with something else.
Okay. All right. Darren, what about you? How long after you saw the notice go up?
Oh wow, I'm trying to think now.
I mean, just roughly. I mean, it wasn't like 2 or 3 days, was it? I mean,
I think I completely blanked on it at first. I thought, that's a great theme. I'd love to make something for this. And, I remember just not being able to think of anything. And I just ended up going through loads of websites, looking at pictures, lots of, like, photo reference, concept art, all that kind of stuff, just to find something that would kind of spur the imagination. And I found a picture of a sea fort, which I put in the Lambda generation article that I wrote. It's just that one image that just spurred everything, basically. Perfect. If I hadn't seen that, I don't think I would have entered the competition.
Okay. All right, that's cool.
It was like lightning hitting my brain.
Bow, that was the one.
Yeah.
And Justin, what about you?
I think I saw it the day you posted it, and I had a whole bunch of ideas from the previous competitions, because I think we had talked about using Ambush as a theme at some point in the past, probably before the 6x10.
Yeah.
But this was really busy time and kind of unpredictable time because I was finishing my thesis.
Okay.
And which was successfully defended, by the way.
Well done.
In any case, because of that, I had no idea if I really had the time, and I said, no, I won't enter. And then the Tuesday after that, I wound up with time to map, so I decided to give it a shot.
Okay. And Mark has sort of talked about like writing a story, or at least, you know, looking in the dictionary. Darren had the images. What about you? What did you do?
I pretty much just plan it out in my head, all the things that I might want to do. And the problem is that my vision is always way too big for 10 days or 5 days, which is what I had. So
all for my computer.
I, scrapped all of my initial ideas and cut it down to something much, much simpler.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So once you started mapping, I mean, Justin mentioned, and even Mark mentioned, that you didn't really, the first idea didn't work for you, so you sort of almost started again. So are you basically saying that you sort of built a map within 8 days or 7 days or even less?
Justin? Yeah, it was 5 days.
Danger mapping.
You should get twice the points.
Well, I mean, really? I was able to spend a full 5 days, so...
Okay, yeah. I mean, one of the things I'd love to do for the next competition is get everybody to sort of keep an hourly count. Not that it would count towards anything. I mean, if somebody spent 2 hours and they made the best map, it wouldn't make any difference if they spent, 40 hours. But it is quite interesting. I mean, how long do you think you spent on yours, Mark?
I'm trying to think, because I basically... Again, to be honest, I probably shouldn't have entered a map for this competition because I was really busy with stuff at university. But okay. I ended up spending like four or five afternoons, well, evenings, going from like 10 at night to like 1 or 2 in the morning.
Okay.
So overall,
12 hours.
Yeah, yes, that sounds about right, probably, yeah.
Okay, all right. Darren?
Yeah, I actually streamed most of mine. I did a couple of little bits off stream, but I spent quite a few hours on mine. Generally about maybe five or 6 hours a day-ish.
Okay. All right. Justin?
I think it was 40 to 50.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one.
So that's a lot of time, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So have you all played each other's entries? I mean, I'm assuming that you guys have all played the mod.
Certainly.
Yes.
Please tell me you have. All right. Okay.
Yeah. No, just my entry. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I've played it.
Okay. So, I mean, I chose, as you all know, I chose Lost at Sea as the winner. But it seems that most people felt that the second one was Third Watch, which is why I obviously asked Justin on for this episode. And then with Mark's entry last, but I kind of got last out of the three here. I chose Mark's as the honorary, the honorary mention because of the sort of the gameplay mechanics involved. I was quite pleased with that. Yeah, I know that they should have exploded when the copter was hitting you. But
I am glad they did not.
Yeah, that would have been pretty difficult.
The combine chopper already would have destroyed me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. What were your thoughts about Mark's map?
For me?
Yeah, Justin, okay. You go first.
Okay. I kind of like quirky ideas sometimes, and I'm glad they didn't explode because I would have died many times due to that. The only thing that I had a problem with was the initial ambush with all the combine soldiers shooting at you at the same time. I died, I think, only once, but it was still a pretty painful death because there was almost nothing I could do to prevent it.
Okay.
But then after I was ready for it, then it went a little bit better.
A little bit easier. Okay.
Yeah. Did you stay in the building or you try to run out and shoot guys? Because I think when I tested, I was like, oh, just sit down in a corner and shoot dudes as they come in. But of course, people.
Well, I was shooting. Well, I was in a corner shooting out a window, and then the combine chopper destroys the wall, and then I get hammered by five soldiers at once.
I mean, this is touching on one of the biggest problems about a 10-day competition, not enough testing time, which we'll, maybe talk about that in a little bit. But Darren, what were your thoughts about Mark's map?
Definitely the most memorable for me. I thought the whole premise of it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it, actually. I didn't die, but I came very, very close a lot of the time. The initial combine assault on the building was very, very punishing, as Justin said. And it took me a while. I ended up walking each of the explosive barrels to the points that you had to place them, sort of without using the gravity gun. I don't know why I didn't think to use the gravity gun to throw them around. That was really stupid.
I just got into the room and punted them in all directions.
Yeah,
and
I started doing that after a while. I thought, what the hell am I doing?
I think when I was balancing, quote unquote balancing the kind of the enemy encounters after the initial ambush, I think I was kind of assuming that people would walk every bomb to each bomb site.
Yeah.
Of course, later I realized you could just throw them, and I thought, if players are going to be smart and just throw them from the building, then that's fine.
I think I was thinking too much like a designer when I was playing it. I was thinking, do I have to walk these across and plug them in, or can I just punt them with the gravity gun and the trigger will take care of the rest? And I kind of just assumed that I'd have to walk across.
Yeah, that's what I did.
I considered adding a thing where you have to put it in the zone and then then you also have to walk up and then look like in, but I ended up not bothering. You just punt them in. Yeah. You're a pro.
Some of the people on the site said that they managed to fire them from the room directly to the places. But
yeah, those guys must be really good at golf. Like, that's pretty accurate.
Or with the Magnuson device, because I couldn't get them. I just threw them and then just went out later and put them, into the right places.
But you can do them pretty quickly if you try.
Yeah, I suppose. So tell us about the beginning. What's this part with the little room that goes white? What made you... For me, that was one of the two things that I didn't like about it, sort of starting in a room and then being transported somewhere. It didn't sort of make sense. What was the thinking behind that?
It's hard to give an exact explanation. It was just I like the idea. I like the idea of just... It puts you in a character, in some sense. It's like a really easy way to put the player in this character of the of the saboteur who has to wake up and like put his clothes on and grab his guns and then go out the door and then blow up a train dramatically.
Because that's what you do. You just wake up, you put your clothes on, and you blow up trains.
In fact, one of the things I was planning to do, I didn't end up doing it. It was another thing I didn't end up doing was that after you blew up the train, I was going to have it fade out and then you'd fade in and you'd be back in that room. And then it would come up again. Number one, wake up and get ready, and then you pick up your stuff and open the door, and it would turn to fade to white, and then the mat would end. The presumption being that this is what this person does every single day.
Yeah.
Possibly to the same section of track. Endless struggle.
That would have been nice bookends, sort of beginning and end.
Yeah, I felt it wouldn't really work that well. I felt like the train blowing up and fading to black worked well enough. So.
Okay, no, that's good. And the other problem I had was that the enemy was spawning in front of me.
Yeah, that's a bit of an oversight, huh? You wouldn't accept that there were...
Justin, you say you didn't have that problem.
I mean, you said, were those Combine soldiers spawning in front of you?
Yeah.
None of them spawned for me.
Yeah, I didn't notice
that. That's because you were dead.
After I killed the first few... there weren't any more after that.
They all spawn at once. The trick is that if you go into the building and then immediately turn around and look out, you'll see them just pop into existence, like wish into existence by a dying child's wish or something, just out of nowhere.
That's what happened to me.
Sadistic child.
And they carried on, they sort of, when in some of the little ponds, I mean, I'm not sure what else to call them, like the little bits of water, they would still be alive. They just walked under there, and they would stand under there, shooting at you.
Hey, they have gas masks on, they got respirators. It's guerrilla warfare.
Good save.
Underused combine tactic there.
Yeah, they're frogmen. Come on, it's like a new type of enemy.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so I mean, all in all, I really enjoyed that entry. I felt that it really spun the idea of this ambush that we were blowing them up, but they were getting after us, and that new mechanic was kind of cool. So I really enjoyed it. I know some of the people on the site said that they sort of no-clipped because it was sort of too big for them, but I think I felt that if it had been any smaller, it wouldn't have had sort of the vision that, it was good because it was quite big, that you couldn't just do everything really quickly. You guys agree?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I thought the scale was something that I really, really liked, like seeing all the headcrab canisters kind of coming in across the skyline.
That was something I really liked. So. That was an idea I had before, but I've never actually implemented, and it was really cool to see it work.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was nice.
You handled the Skybox really nice. Transition much better than I did as well.
The water, you mean?
Yeah, in Lost at Sea, especially when you're up on the tower, you can see the edges of the map really, really easily. It's kind of square around the side where the water just stops, and Mark did that much better in his map.
Yeah, the way you do
you
it...
You don't get so high, though, do you?
No. It's one of the things that obviously you don't go in as high. It's like my map is incredibly flat. It's like one story the whole way. But what I did with the water is I just put all, because I had the water going out for like a pretty far distance, like in the actual map. Mm-hmm. And then I did a 3D skybox, it just went for ages with the water. Oh, and then if you make it going long enough, then it usually looks pretty convincing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So before we move on to Justin's entry, what would you say you've learnt from making your map, Mark?
I was tossing this question over of what I learned from making this map. To be honest, I kind of can't think of anything I learned. It all just ended up being kind of lucky. I didn't have much time, but everything I put down kind of ended up working because I kind of didn't know what the map was going to be for the longest time. Like the initial idea was actually that you'd have to lay bombs out, and you'd lay the bombs out, then you'd get ambushed, and then you'd have to defend the bombs. And it was like going to be like a mechanic where a helicopter would drop combine on the bombs and defuse them. But
That's nice.
But that's
a lot of scripting.
The biggest problem was that it was going to be like, oh, the train arrives in 60 seconds, keep all the bombs on and stop them being defused. But then it's like, well, what's the difference between 5 bombs being on and 10 bombs being on? Does the train only get half blown up? Like, what does that mean? I kind of went up with what we have now. The only thing I can think of is that having objective text on the screen can actually be quite useful. In fact, paradoxically, my map has a whole bunch of like objective text on the screen telling you what to do because I don't like having objective text on the screen telling you what to do. what happened is that one thing I really admire about like Half-Life games and so on is they don't have objectives like just up on the screen. They like use environmental cues. So I try to do that as much as possible, but for this map, I was like kind of struggling to get the player to, like wondering how to get the player to know to do this and to do that. So I ended up putting text on, but then I was like, it just didn't feel right to just have like a text going up say go to this building and then text saying plant these bombs, and that's where the whole conceit of the six steps came from. I was like, there has to be some kind of unity. There has to be some kind of underlying vision to these objectives.
Okay.
So I was like, I put it into like a step form, and then it has like some kind of story element as well.
That was a nice touch. You're right, because if it had just said load up your weapons, leave the room, wouldn't have been so interesting, because the psychology behind the steps is curious to know what's the next.
That's how I felt. I just wanted to know what came next.
Exactly. Quite heavy with that turned out.
Obviously, step six is blowing up a train. What happens first?
Yeah. So what do you have to
do? All right, cool. So, so on to Justin's entry called The Third Watch. This is where you start in the room and you get to use the, I don't know what to call it. Is it the combine binoculars?
Yeah, combine binocular.
Is that all it's called? Really?
I don't know if it has a special name.
Comboculars.
The Zoomer vision. Binoculars.
Okay.
They make bigger
now,
fire.
How was that? How difficult was it to get the tank to be seen? I mean, or is that of like?
It was actually kind of tricky. I had to use a glitch to get it to work the way I wanted to. So basically, the camera follows a little block, invisible block that moves along the path, and then as soon as it gets 100, 100 feet in front of the APC. It's parented to the APC and starts moving forward with it, but for whatever reason, the binoculars trail behind by 100 feet, so I had to just iteratively time it until it was correct.
Yeah. Wow, okay. Funny story, I completely missed the binoculars. I just walked straight out the door. And then I wonder if I could use them, walk back in, and it wouldn't work.
Oh, really? Once you left the room, you couldn't use the binoculars?
No, it's actually on it. It's on a timer. I think it's 45 seconds that the power goes out.
Oh, okay.
I just put that in there to try to catch the player if they're piddling around too much.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I like that. It makes sense. You're hanging around, and then the combine cut the power regardless of whether you look through the scope.
Okay. Clever. And then you go sort of down the hill, and then there's that great piece with the hunter, and you can sort of, you just see him. I think you hear him for a few moments first, and then you see him. And then no matter how fast you go, he's gone, because I no-clipped after I played a few times. Not the first time. I never no-clip the first time. I always play properly the first time. And then you get to those sets of buildings. And, tell us about the process for building those.
The process for building those, first, it was I had to decompile a valve map to check and see how they blew up the building so I could, make sure I did it right. And I picked the smallest one because they have three buildings they blew up in episode two. The smallest one was the easiest one to do, and I knew that that was the key element in my map, is that you're always expecting an ambush, so you have to do something the player doesn't expect. And you don't expect the house to blow up.
Yeah, I didn't expect that.
It was a great moment, that's
There were
for sure.
a couple of really good unexpected moments, actually, in Justin's map. My brain is going completely flat right now. The hunter that bursts out of the garage really got me. I jumped back in my seat when that happened. I really wasn't expecting that either. Okay. Yeah, there's some really nice timing going on with the actual ambush.
I never actually realized that the doors opened progressively. Like, it actually felt pretty natural. Like, I went into the open building. It was the very first building I went into. And then I kind of ran around. I didn't even notice that the other buildings only opened, like, to let enemies out. Step one by one. So it actually felt, like, really natural. It was great.
Yeah.
That was the idea.
Yeah, it was clever. And I had to play twice to find one part of the building. So I didn't realize that I'd missed it. I'd walked up one of the metal walkways in the big building
warehouse.
With the sort of the person hanging from a hick. What was it called?
Just the warehouse. Sorry? That was my...
The warehouse. And I got to the...
Go ahead.
Sorry, that was your... So I got to the top of the stairs. A hunter was chasing me. I don't know how maybe I killed it, or I don't know what happened after that. But it was only on the second playthrough that I realized that I didn't go in the other half of the building. And I went through, and that's when I saw that you've got that almost pendulum thing that if you shoot it in the right place, it smashes open the door.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I sort of only saw that on the second playthrough. So, I mean, those kind of things are cool, because if you see everything on the first playthrough, you almost feel as though there's
not...
Wait,
how did you finish
there.
The map if you didn't go to the other building, isn't it, with the rocket?
How did you finish that?
Did I kill the Strider with the crowbar?
No, but I didn't kill the Strider. The first time I played it, I managed to get the guy in the in that little room who's the combine with the power for the force field.
Okay, well,
yeah. Once I got the power off, I just drove through with the Strider firing back at me.
Well, I set it up so you could do that.
So
but
the first
I didn't
time
really
I didn't kill it.
To.
Yeah, I mean. I'm not Gordon Freeman. I'm just some guy in a buggy, and I'm just going to get the hell out of there as quickly as possible. So I didn't even think about killing him, the Strider, because I don't think I had a rocket launcher.
The rocket launcher is in the second
Unless
room.
Go into the second part of the room. Yeah, so the first time I played it, I'm running around thinking, what am I supposed to do? Panicking, I can't find a way through. Eventually, I figure out that I've got to get the force field down. And I just drive through with him firing with the Strider crouching down firing at me. So, you know, these things happen. I mean, I still had a lot of fun. And then the second time, I obviously found the rocket launcher.
Well,
and,
that's the thing with your... my goal was to create kind of an open battle environment and give the player as many options as possible. So one of the options is running away. And...
Yeah, that's something I really liked about the layout of Justin's map with the actual ambush area, was just the fact that you could just pretty much go wherever you wanted and fight however you wanted.
Yeah, it reminded me of some of the stuff I really liked in Half-Life, you know, in episode 2. Like open area with buildings, so it feels like there's like no boundary to the map.
Yeah.
It just feels like you're around these buildings. It was great. Wait.
Yeah. And you choose where to make a stand or where to run across. And no, true. Okay. Any final thoughts, Mark? Or
I don't know. I just really liked it. The walk down from the building, as Philip said, was really nice. I saw that hunter that kind of, you know, dashes out of view.
Did you? Explore?
I did actually.
I didn't explore.
You know, the couple of the playthroughs people have made. And I'm wondering what is the split of people who just walk down the path versus walk off, because I walked off and I actually grabbed the Magnum that's off to one of the sides.
Oh, I think I must have missed that.
It's off to the left as soon as you get to the bottom of the hill.
Yeah. You see, I don't even cross the road unless it's at a crossing, so the idea of me walking into the forest is, no, I'm not doing that. So was there any
there is a head
else
grab
in the forest,
and,
Justin,
and lion
we missed?
Well, I didn't know who would walk down, because you won't see the hunter that, you know, runs away from you if you walk down the side, so. But you do hear a hunter run down the road if you walk down the right, the left side.
My feeling is that once the power had gone, I kind of felt an urgency. I didn't feel that you wanted me to hang around. There was a clear path, and I need to get going. My feeling was
exactly.
I needed to tell.
But then the
some
idea is that as you're going down the road, you realize that, that maybe things aren't going all that well.
Yeah, that's one thing that I really like the story behind that. You know, third watch, you're on watch and you see these guys and you go back and no, everyone's dead. But it's the thing I kind of didn't really think about the first time through. Like, I sort of didn't think about the fact that there was like a base down the hill was where like the main base was. I'm not sure if there would have been like a way to like have a story beat there. Like, I don't know if you started out the base and there's like rebel NPCs around, and then you have to like walk up to the top, but that probably that'll have its own problems.
Yeah, that's the vision that I had to cut in order to actually make this map in a short amount of time.
Yeah, fair enough.
I really did like the
so,
build up. Like,
Darren,
any
final words
the walk
about
from
Justin's
the cabin to the base was really, really well done with all the ambush sounds going on. That was probably one of the best kind of a build-up, kind of suspense moments, I think, in recent memory, actually. It really got me going.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. And then on to your map. So Lost Sea, which caused me a few problems because you called it Sea Fort, and I put everything in the correct order.
Noted.
So from now on, if you enter...
It's Lost at
Sea
Fort, that's
the
name, right?
Exactly the same as the file name. Okay. Yeah, maybe. But the problem was that it was like it was in the S's because it was C4, and I said, "Oh, I put all the maps," and then Aid, who runs the Beta Testing Collective, you know, sarcastically put, "I don't see how L comes before S," and it was like, you know, she's tried, but that's because it was supposed to be C4.
Yes.
But all right, so you got the idea from an image that you found on
basically,
the internet.
I kind of started out just kind of copying the basic structure directly from this image.
Talk us through
basically.
That.
I didn't really have much of an idea of gameplay when I first started it. I just kind of wanted to get something built. The basic idea was I wanted the player to go through the environment without any combat and then trigger something, come back through the same environment with combat and have it be slightly different. Just basically just trying to be as efficient as possible with the map so that if you kind of build a linear map from point A to point B, you have to make everything. And it could take a really long time, so just getting the player to reuse the environment multiple times is a just more efficient way of doing things at the time limit, I think.
Kind of, yeah. That was something that was the only thing that kind of broke the experience.
Yep.
But that's probably just because I'm a mapper. Is that
I
saw all the rockets laying around and go, I know what I'm going to be doing here.
Yeah, that was. I really didn't like adding the rockets there, but. What I wanted to do
there's,
was...
Yeah, nothing you can really do about it.
I wanted the player to feel like they could walk around wherever they wanted in the map while the gunship was there. I didn't just want them to hang around by the rocket bin and take it out. But unfortunately, the side effect is that you spot rockets on your way through.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the build-up for this one because... I mean, I knew it was coming, of course. It's called Ambushville. You know there's going to be an ambush. But it's when? Is it when I turn this button? Okay, no. Okay, mate. So let's the next one. Okay, turn the next button. Oh, okay,
the idea was
there was
going to
be when it is,
a few of those
town,
little binocular devices around
the map.
In fact, there is one in the first... In the... what do you call that thing? Like the Combine thing sticking out the water. My brain's gone blank. The Combine Watchtower with the bridge going to it. There's a device in there, the same kind of device that I was going to trigger up and let you look through it and have just like a nice vista or something.
I actually thought that was like the model for like the Combine mortar the first time I saw it. I thought it was like, is that the binoculars? It seems too big to be binoculars.
Yeah. Maybe it is. I don't know. I just kind of picked it because it had like a viewfinder on it. So.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
What you could have done is you could have had marked view of the trend line, not just blowing up. It would have been kind of cool. So when I first started this, maybe this will make you laugh. It made me laugh. When I first started this, I was really angry with you. And I was really angry with you because I thought, as soon as I fall in the water, those little fish things are going to bite me. And I hate that when mappers do that. It really. So I was angry with you before I'd even fallen in the water.
Yeah, I never went in the water.
I'm not angry with you anymore. But I thought it was quite funny.
No, I thought there were going to be leeches in the water, so I never went in the water.
Yeah, I think you never went in the water at all. None of them went in the water, so I actually added. Basically, the sea was there was nothing in the sea initially, apart from the various Easter eggs, which I don't know if you want to talk about. We'll decide that later, but. So I added things like rocks and the half-submerged boat and things like that just something there which looks interesting to explore. Obviously, it didn't work as well as I was hoping.
No, because people assume that there's going to be leeches, as Justin, you know, rightly said. But the fact that you had ladders going in and out was kind of a clue that... You know, you do have some time. I mean, I don't mind leeches. I'm not saying leeches are a bad thing. It's just that a couple of times, as soon as you fall in the water, you get hit with them. And a mapper should accept that I might fall in and give me a little leeway.
It took me a few minutes at the very start to work out where to go. Because it's like, which direction can I go? This seems to be like a dead end. Until I realize, I can swim. I can just jump in the water. And it was like... To be honest, I didn't even think about swimming into the stuff at the edges of the map. Probably because they were all just props. If it was another building, I probably would have. Again, there's mapper sense, but it's they're just props put out there for detail. I didn't even think about going out there to look for stuff.
Yeah.
Though, as you said, turns out there were some Easter eggs out there and things.
Yes, tell us, because I didn't find any Easter eggs. I didn't do much swimming.
I just wanted to put something fun in the water that players could find if they explore, basically an exploration reward, right? So, in various little pockets and inside shipping containers and things like that, which are submerged in the water, there's these little glowing baby dolls with kind of glowing red eyes. And you can walk up to them and collect them by using them. There's three of them in the map. And when you find them all, you just get a little piece of music and a congratulatory message. I really wanted to add something actually in the map that changed if you found them all.
You should have had a 3D skybox and then put a doll model in the skybox. So it's just a skyscraper doll.
Looking at you.
Fantastic. Yeah, great idea.
Maybe the little lasers can pop out of their eyes, and you just set the preset carry angle, and you can run around and vaporize combat.
Cat ones that people did a few years back.
That's a great idea. Yeah, that would have been fantastic.
Plenty of options to do with it.
So again, this is my first Half-Life 2 map, so it's just really interesting seeing what everyone said about it. But yeah, the water stuff was really interesting. I really thought I'd had that solved, and that people would go in and explore. Obviously not, so... Let's go back to the drawing board on that one.
It's just, that's something I've learned too, is Half-Life paradigm. You can't break them unless you teach the player. Yeah. So you'd have to force the player to fall in the water and then realize, I won't die.
Yeah.
The only small thing I think you could have added was maybe a small item box.
Absolutely.
In the patch of water you have to drop down in. Would have maybe sped people up. I don't have a gravity gun, so I guess I just have to jump in there and grab it. Smash it.
Yeah. Needed some more incentive to go down there and have a look,
Oh, yeah. One more thing. Maybe. I really like the Combine head crab canister.
Okay, so that brings us
on to... Nice touch.
Sorry.
There's a quality touch.
Yeah. Did that get you? Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, that got me. no ambush here. I guess I'll continue. Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, I just added those head crab containers in there, literally because that part of the map is just a box. It literally is a cube just carved out with some props added in. It looked really, really boring to me, so I just kind of added the head crab canisters against the wall just to add something in there which looks visually interesting and I just thought, why not have one of them pop open?
That's good. You should have thrown in a forklift, because I think that those things look pretty damn heavy, and they look like the combine have just like dragged them into the corner of the room. It's got like, had like five guys like carrying them like a tree trunk, tossing them in there. So, where do we put these?
Okay, so that sort of nicely times us onto testing, you know, because I mean, we've all got our different comments about how we could have or would have done things. So how much testing, excuse me, Mark, how much testing did you actually do?
No, unfortunately.
Other people, third-party testers, any?
I'm just trying to think. Yeah, the problem is, like, I made my map, like I wasn't even sure if I was going to have time to, like, release my map at all. Like, it all came together, like, kind of at the last minute. And with a really long last minute dash. I did at one point send a copy of my map to Ada for the beta testing collective, but it was a bit too late to organize anything. And I think next time I'll just try to contact. The best thing to do for me, at least, because I'm always kind of like, oh, I'm always running out of time, whatever. It's just like find someone who agrees, who's like, oh, sure, I'll test your map, and then toss them a file. Like, at the last minute, and get them to play through and send some give some feedback.
Yeah. I mean, contact Aid, if you decide to enter the next one next week, which we'll talk about in a minute, contact Aid at the beginning, and she can contact all the testers.
Yeah,
and maybe
like
one
that.
Of them can say, yeah, okay, I'll make sure I'm available, and then they can do it directly with you.
I had one friend play it about 5 hours before the deadline.
Okay. All right, Justin, what about you? Did you get much testing done?
A couple little tweaks, like the actual
and
ambush, because it's open-ended. There's a lot of different scenarios I have to consider what the player might do, and a lot of code that I have to make sure is working properly. So I just ironed out a few things.
Okay.
Though there's still something that I wasn't able to fix until after the deadline. Luckily, no one ever saw it, but there's a trigger in each building that forces the combine to shoot out the windows randomly. And I could not get that to work.
Okay. All right. Darren, what about you? I mean,
yeah,
you were live
That's
streaming,
a tricky
so
thing, because a load of people
tested,
on the stream
got lots of comments
volunteered themselves to beta test. And the problem with that is that they've all seen the map already. So I got a couple of people from the Quake community to test it out.
Yeah,
a few of those had been watching as well, so I don't think anyone actually played it completely blind, but I tried to pick people that perhaps hadn't watched as much. But it was actually really beneficial streaming.
But still, it's good that
a lot of help from
these
stream watchers. Actually, there's a lot of knowledgeable people hanging out in there, so thank you very much, you guys.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent idea to do that. And you wrote that excellent article for Lambda Generation about, you know, how not to build a level in 10 days. And I think those things are cool because they're maximizing any exposure that you get. I mean, the same with this podcast, that I'm hoping that these kind of things will help mappers, because people enjoy being on the podcast, but it also gives them exposure and maybe motivation for next time and stuff like that. So, all right. So, we're pretty much wrapped up. Is there any final points that you guys want to talk about, the competition itself or individual? I mean, we didn't talk about anybody's maps besides your three, because I felt that your three.
I could give a couple of comments on each map.
If there's any comments
doesn't
you want
seem fair
about
with
the other maps.
When the other mappers aren't here.
Mark?
I think all the other maps had like a few point, you know, a part where I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Trying to go through all the whole list of maps in my head. Was it Athelstan, Factory Condition? I like the radio. I have Radio Tower Ambush. Actually, I quite like that one.
Yeah, me too.
I think the main reason I liked it is that you walk up and there's, you know, you're supposed to walk up there in the combine ambush you, but one of the doors is half open, and if you just like walk there and open it, there's just like a combine just like sitting there waiting, and you can like get the drop on them, which I thought was kind of funny. Just like Yeah, apparently.
I didn't even know there were hunters.
Is that the one where the hunters falls through the map? Yeah, I played three or four times and I only saw them twice. I kept getting
hit. Yeah, I think they were under and they were firing up at you.
And I couldn't find them. And I even
there's ground hunters. The realm, they
I didn't go under the map.
New enemy.
Yeah, that was a bit of bad luck.
Yeah, subterranean. I like that.
Like
I liked
combine who can go under the water.
Map.
Okay,
I can't remember that. Okay. The map with the gnome and the makeshift cathedral. I like the look of that. Actually reminded me a lot of what's that game? Any of you guys played I Divine Cybermancy?
No.
No takers. Yeah, that game is incomprehensible. I only got a few levels in, but. It's incomprehensible in kind of an enjoyable way, and the environments reminded me a lot of your environment of the gnome map reminded me like a lot of that. In a sense, like really huge, like empty rooms, but with like really dramatic light, dark empty rooms with the dramatic light effects. It was kind of neat. Then the combine.
Okay.
Temple Stamen. That's right. Yeah, that's good.
And I think you're talking about the
I like that one visually. That was really nice to look at.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That had a beautiful start. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. At the beginning,
I like that space actually had like kind of tutorials. It was the first time you're going, there's dramatic music. I was like, oh, this place is huge. And then there's another one for me when I was like actually at the bottom and I turned around, the makeshift church. And I looked up, I was like, oh, the glowing light is kind of sort of forms like the light pulling through the stained glass windows in the cathedral.
Uh-huh.
It's actually it was a really nice effect. The actual fighting itself kind of like threw me off a bit. But I did like the Strider.
Absolutely.
Like big Strider just in this mammoth room.
The level made it look tiny.
Yeah.
It was actually really interesting to look at it. It was a tiny little Strider. Yeah, that was hilarious.
It's got the first time I've heard voice acting in
the
single player map. That I actually liked. I didn't feel that I either didn't cringe or couldn't hear. It was it's good.
Okay.
Good voice. Okay. Good character.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, no, it was nice. You know, do me a favour, just go and get my gnome. It's like, yeah,
let's
no problem.
See,
I'll do
Temple stand in.
Right. Darren, anything you want to say about the match?
I kind of like Rapid Raid as well. It was just simple and effective.
Yeah, I like this.
That's
the start with that.
I wasn't too fond of was I thought the actual big ambush at the end with the combine rappelling down was perhaps a little bit repetitive. Like some more enemy variety, I think would have really helped there.
Yes, Matt.
I managed to get back up onto that walkway.
Yeah.
If you stack some of the boxes that are left lying around,
stacking.
Once you jump down
and
they come down,
any
you can go back up, and then you can pick them off from the top. Now I'm sure he didn't plan that, you know, but you just got to assume that they're going to use the boxes. Don't put boxes if you don't want people to go back up.
You kind of go down,
but yeah, it got a little repetitive. I mean, it's like, how many times are they going to rappel down these holes? It went on for too long.
You know, you start the map and you're immediately being attacked. I guess it kind of breaks like some sort of unspoken rule of map design, but it does it like really in like a really deliberate way, and it almost fits the theme in a sense. Like it's like an ambush, literally, like the moment you start the map.
If you go outside, kind of running away from the Metrocop, you try and pick up the flower pots and throw them, and they just break in your hands. You're like panicking, like, no, go away. You're like throwing a bike at him.
Okay. I tried to get him to fall down the hole. I assumed that my task was to get him to fall down the hole so I could go out the door that he came in. And I was running around for ages, but he wouldn't go down. And in the end, he pissed me off so much that once I got the gun, I went back and shot him from the bottom. But yeah, that was quite a nice touch. And I mean, I'm the kind of person though who starts a map, and then as it's loading, because my PCs are always really quite old, I go to the kitchen to get some water or something. So when I'd come back, I was dead, and it was like, what had happened? But you know,
I like Rapid Raid. I think it didn't do as well.
So, Justin,
as
any
in
final
the polls, just
on
because
the
it didn't have a distinctive element to it. But I thought it was fun to play through. Radio Tower had some nice atmosphere starting out. Unfortunately, the ambush kind of broke for me because I killed the APC with grenades. I never picked up a rocket launcher. Some random details in the other maps launcher. I liked, but yeah.
Okay. I'm kind of disappointed that I remember what you were talking about at the start with Lost at Sea. Okay. We were like waiting for the ambush. Like, oh, is it going to be now? Is it going to be now? I'm kind of disappointed no one went with the option of no ambush ever happening. Just have like hope. just have like a really long map with like some like flashes of lightning, and then like hunters like out the corner of your eye, and then you just like walk through a door or like climb out of a tunnel and it's daylight, the sun shining. It's like a map. That's the end of the map. And like, everyone's smiling and it's all a good time.
Yeah, joke's on you. The Combine abandoned this place. They don't use it anymore.
Yeah, no one cares about you. They don't even want to kill you.
Quite funny, actually. Yeah, I mean. Yeah. Or if there was like a couple of you, maybe, and you managed
that
to
was also one of the vision
you,
things that
ambushed.
I had to cut is that I wanted to have multiple potential ambushes that would be just randomly selected for you.
Hell, no.
Okay.
Just three by infinity, just like
maybe I need to make a 3x100
spend the whole rest of your life just working on it, just like you make your master craft work.
Yeah, just keep making. Working on one map.
I'll release it next week. 3x
Valve
time.
That's what it would be called.
Yeah,
because Valve time is pretty much infinity, isn't it? Okay. Yeah. So I mean, I have to admit, I'm very happy with the results, and I'm disappointed that the number of downloads doesn't reflect that, because if you sort of go on to the mapping competition page, which is just planetphilip.com/mapping-competitions, you've got like a list of the downloads, and believe it or not, Ambushville is the lowest. I know it's the newest, but I mean, Rooftopville got 2,000 downloads, and at the time of speaking and recording...
Well, isn't Rooftopville pretty old, isn't it? Like, that was ages ago.
So I'm kind of, you know, a little... Yep. Yeah, but basically, I mean, I don't have the charts available, but basically, after the first 2 months, these maps get, like, maybe one download a month. Something like that. So if it's not downloaded a lot at the beginning, they're not downloaded that much at all. I mean... Rooftopville came out in February 2011, but it's still 500 downloads more than any other of the competitions. So all I'm saying is that I think the quality of maps in this competition was really high. There were some really good maps here, and even the ones that didn't win. You know, we talked about Rapid Raid, and we talked about Radio Tower.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you probably do. Just see how many more roll
so,
in.
Maybe
I'll
just like
to give
it
some flows. Like some, you're always going to have like some downloads, and sometimes more than others. And then of course, there's just kind of like the thing of the larger community of like who's still like looking through.
Exactly.
Size, looking
it's
for
been
half-life
6 years since episode 2, so the pool is smaller.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, the amount of... I'm getting approximately half the number of hits per day on Planet Philip now than I did maybe 2 or 3 years ago, simply because not enough people are playing, because there's not enough releases. So, you know, that's a fair point. So what we've got is next week...
next week.
Oh, dear.
Friday is the next competition. I don't know whether you guys realised it was coming around so quickly.
Yeah. I think I should be able to do it. My last exam is actually next Friday.
Without knowing,
and then I have holidays, so that'll be good. I'll probably end up planning out like a super ambitious map and then never finishing it.
Okay, good.
On account of how much free time I have, but
finishing.
Oh, let me think.
10% of it or something. Okay,
let's just say yes.
Darren, what do you think? You think you might be up for it?
Oh yeah, definitely. If I end up entering, then
maybe.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Okay, will you live stream again?
I think.
Okay, good.
I will try.
And Justin, what do you think? You think? Okay. Okay. Well, I'm not expecting you to give me, you know, definite yes or no's. But you know, I just thought I'd remind you that we're only a week away from the next one, so that'll be kind of fun. So I'd like to finish off by thanking you, all of you, for A, entering the competitions and spending so many hours.
It's good. Thanks.
A lot of fun.
And B, for being flexible and coming on this podcast. Hopefully you've enjoyed it, yes? Good. So keep making maps. And to the listeners, by the time you get to hear this, you'll only be a week,
and then
less than a week
just
or so
turn off
from the
recording
announcement of
and
this
then
one,
tell, and then turn back
which
on.
Is all planned out. I can't tell you anything. So I'm quite excited about this one. Ooh, couldn't do that. So thanks for listening, and
see you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Just the beginning.
Have fun.
Goodbye.
Cheers. See ya.
You guys say goodbye now.
Remember, finishing Half-Life is just the beginning.